want apple juice.
Lucas wants apple juice.
I know, I heard him
can
say
I
that.
Can I have apple juice?
Yeah, you can have apple juice.
Can I have soda?
Yes, you can have soda.
Can I press that button?
No, you can't press that button.
Why?
Because that's going to play the theme song. I'm not ready to start the pot.
Not just Ty Dad, he's my dad.
James Gutman!
What's up, guys? James Gutman here on Hi Pod, I'm Dad. Welcome back to another edition of the show. It is Friday. It is Groundhog Day, right? February 2nd is Groundhog Day. It's Groundhog Day. So thank you for joining me. I gotta be honest, I'm a little thrown because in my head, right? Check this out. You guys know that I always struggle with how to open these audios because when I used to do my wrestling audios way back in my past life, I used to always begin them with, "What's up, guys? James Gutman." And it was always this over-enthusiastic kind of a thing. But since then, and as some of you might or might not know, I was doing those audios, those podcasts, I guess we call them now, but they were just called audios back then, like in 2003. So I've been doing those way before iTunes or even the iPhone. Recording these, as I called them back then, audio updates. So when I would go, "What's up, guys?" that was just my thing. And now in 2024, every effing person with a microphone is like, "What's up, guys?" I'm like, so now I don't want to do it, but I cannot do it. So in my head, before I began this, I was like, dude, just say "Hi Pod." Like, "Hi Pod," like, just do that. And it seemed like such a no-brainer that I hadn't even thought of it. So I tried it three times. Every single time, it sounded weird because I would say "Hi Pod" and then I would welcome you to "Hi Pod" on. It just was too much at once. So, all that being said, what's up, guys? James Gutman here with another edition of the show. Thank you. If it's on HiPodOnDad.com that you found me, if you found me at any of the streaming services, I appreciate it. Come back, bookmark, all that stuff. It has been a big week, and it has been an exciting week. It has been a week that I've really been proud of for the growth not only of the blog and podcast, but just for the ability to be able to kind of spread awareness about autism appreciation, to spread awareness about perhaps an autism that many people aren't aware of, and to just let people know about my boy and about how his autism, for a parent, for a family that didn't have that in their family prior, really just became a part of who we are, you know, that fear that a lot of parents have early on when they get the diagnosis or even before they get the diagnosis. A little known thing that a lot of people don't talk about is that when you are a young parent, meaning like a parent to a young child, you're going to have friends who also fear that their kid might have autism. That happens to everybody. When your kid is like one or two, you're going to have like six or seven people who are all just as concerned about their kids. And you kind of go through the same process together. I know that, you know, I did. And what ends up happening is about a year or two in, suddenly they start to catch up in many cases with their deficits for milestones where your kid might. That's what happened with us. Lucas didn't talk. Lucas didn't do these things. And a lot of these other people who the whole time were fearful of their own kids with us, confiding in us and telling us, "I really hope this isn't true. I really hope this isn't true." It turns out it wasn't true for them. And then you sit there and you're just like, what does that mean now? You know? So that's a tough time. It really is tough, especially early on. So anybody out there who's listening to this podcast and in a similar situation, which I remember was one of the darkest and scariest points of my life, if you are listening to this, if you do follow the blog, if you do follow these things, the whole goal that I have here is to tell you that it's not what you're imagining. Even when the worst thing happens, it's not the worst thing. We think we know what's worst. We think we know what we can't live through, which is always a big thing. I remember always feeling like that when I was young. I'd be like, what would I do? I don't know. I'd just kill myself. I don't know what I would do. Like, I would just pinpoint these imagined scenarios in my life. I just passed 20 years of the best friend I ever had passed away. And I actually remember, because I don't know, maybe I'm a weirdo. When I was young, I would imagine terrible stuff and just picture like, what would I do? And I remember picturing that happening when we were younger and thinking like, you know, I don't know what I would do. I don't know how to deal with it. And it rocked me when he died, but 20 years. And I'm still here. I'm still standing. Did it change me? Yeah. Did it make me a different person? Yeah. But in many ways, it made me a better person. I weathered that storm. I learned lessons from it. I took things from, you know, his death and his passing, how it happened, why it happened, all those things. And I applied them to myself. And it made me stronger. Same thing with my son. My son having autism was something I pictured. But here's the thing. My son, it's not autism like you would picture. My son has what many call severe autism, low functioning, which I think is, I don't even know what's worse. Like all of it is terrible. We should have a title for it. Like there should be a way to refer to it, but I kind of feel like any words that we have to describe it, I don't like saying them. I don't like dealing with them. I just know he's Lucas. He's my kid. And there are things that we deal with, things that he and I together have to work on. He doesn't, you know, tie his own shoes. Let's put it like that. Like there's definitely things that you would imagine for a boy who is on the cusp of, get this, 13 years old, that he doesn't do, that we do together. You know, I have to help him with many things. And I would never have imagined that, you know, in my life. And yet here it is. And I guarantee you, if I can go back in time, if I can go back to like 1999 and be like, yo, hey, come here. Like, what would you do if, and then I tell myself what I'm dealing with, I'd probably be like, I'll just kill myself. That'd be it, you know. But you don't, because it's not what you think. Like you imagine a stranger, you imagine yourself in the future with somebody you've never met before. I got to take care of them. What am I going to do? But nah, man, it's my boy. Of course I got him. I got his back. Just like I got my daughter's back. Like I got, no matter what anybody needs. And then question yourself, right? So like if you are one of those people, if you don't have a kid who has that kind of need, and I know this is going to veer off a little bit from those of you who tuned in for autism, because for many people, autism doesn't include this. But for us, autism includes, you know, really specialized chronic care for Lucas, right? So you imagine that. Now imagine somebody in your life now who might not have that. Now imagine something happens, because it happens. In life, people you end up having to take care of and care for, in many cases, they're people who took care of you a few years ago. Now they're older, they're sick, they had an accident, they had a stroke. There's different things that can suddenly thrust that upon somebody. What would you do? Would you give up on the person you love because they're too much work? Of course not. So I didn't. And I wouldn't. And I would hope that, you know, my daughter or whoever would do that for me. You know, I want people to be there for me. Just like I want to be there for my son, especially people who love me. I love my son with all my heart, man. He's like the greatest kid ever. But that's kind of the point of what I'm getting to with this. So if you're listening to this and you're, you know, imagining the future now, you have a kid who's just now getting diagnosed, or you're just learning about these different things, just know that our scenario in my life, in terms of how autism has affected us, is significant and substantial. And even with that, it is not this end of the world scenario. That is so important to say, because nobody said that to me when my son was little. Doctors would just say, you know, it is what it is. Maybe one day he'll talk, maybe one day. And there's always like a lot of ideas, but nobody ever said, look, if he never talks, if he never, you know, is able to fully dress himself, all these different things, like if you love him and he loves you, you're good. You're good. It just becomes a person in your life, a person who offers you different challenges, but also offers you a different relationship. The way my son makes me feel, I can't even tell you guys, he makes me feel like a celebrity. Like, you know, like he's so happy to see me. Not all the time, man. And that's the other thing too, because people, I've heard from people too, my kid isn't like that, he hits. Yeah, it happens too. You know, in life, like granted, it happens less with me, which I like. I feel like with my son, it's, you know, it's happened. Like I've gotten him off of like a school bus and he'll like swat at you. I was like, hey, and then I really lay it to, don't ever do that. And he doesn't do it. He doesn't, he listens. So he gets that from me. Like he knows that I'm the guy that you don't F with, so to speak. But he could be like that. You know, he could deal with people a certain way. That's not the best possible way. And so I get that too. So I'm not just coming to you being like, he's great because he's so loving. But even the people who have challenging kids who are like Lucas, even people who have children who aren't lovey-dovey, kissy-huggy, you know that when they are, it's great, you know, and it's a different level than what you would get from someone else. And in many cases, the way Lucas interacts, the faces he makes, the way he responds to situations, the fact that he is nonverbal is in some cases like, I don't know, some of the cutest, most wonderful things that kind of flies in the face of him being 13. I get it. But I don't know, man, he cracks me up. His like his laughs, his smiles, like he laughs when he's exhausted. Yesterday we were in the car, we had to drive his sister somewhere and his iPad wasn't working. I'm like, dude, no more iPad. Just sit in the car, just sit. And he kind of leaned forward and he's just like giggling. And I know that it's because he's tired and he can't tell me he's tired. It's like, I don't know, there's something to it. So I'm good. And that's the whole point. I know I veered away a little bit, but the goal of this blog, the goal of this podcast, the goal of all of these things has always been to reach people and give that message. And this past week, Jubilee, over on YouTube, if you guys do YouTube, Jubilee allowed me to fly out to LA in the beginning of the month, sit on a panel with a group of people. As you guys know, if you saw the video, there were so many different voices out there, different people, all of them that I met were just like wonderful. You guys might know from the show Love on the Spectrum that I know is all over Netflix. Hannah and her mom were there on the panel with me. Also, Aiden Boyer, who was on American Idol, was on there. So that was really cool getting a chance to not just meet them, but also to be a part of this group where we all discussed this issue that I knew affected them slightly differently than it affected me. Of course, it affects everybody differently. And kind of open the door to share that message, because one of the things that I found since I started doing this blog, and I said it in the beginning, was that the initial wave of negativity for me came from people with high functioning autism. I would get comments on the blogs from people who were upset about how I was talking about Lucas, you know, and I didn't know, I was so mad. I would get angry. I'd be like, what the hell? And then when I would realize that these were other people who were affected by autism in a different way, I said, oh, I get it. They think that Lucas is a higher functioning state than he is. And that's when I started to make a point of pointing out that he's nonverbal within the audience, pointing out certain things so that people knew who I was talking about and why I was speaking for him. I don't like the idea. First of all, I don't like the idea of ever speaking for my son. I don't narrate him. I don't put a voice for him. I'll tell you what I observe in terms of like our interactions of knowing how he feels about something based on how he acts, but I don't narrate him. He's not, you know, a character. He's himself. So I don't do that. I don't speak for him in that sense, but the fact that he is nonverbal, he's not going to write his own story. He doesn't see the world that way. So I do that. And that's the point of doing it. I do it out of love. I don't do it as a parent who's just like, ugh, it's so hard raising a kid with autism. I'm going to write about it. Like, I don't do that. That's not my thing. So I got that. When people would write upset about how I was talking about Lucas, it was because this group of people, and I realized this, who had been marginalized by so many for so long, they're going to be hypersensitive to somebody without autism writing about it. So, well, thankfully, I've had an opportunity to kind of show how I feel about autism and actually why I do it. So I got to go out there and I got to speak to people one-on-one in this group for Jubilee about my son and about how autism affects our family. And what I was saying before is that I found that when you're given that opportunity, when I'm given that opportunity to sit and really talk about Lucas, people listen, you know, people are open to it. The internet is not a great place for civil discourse. There's no back and forth. There's trolls, there's people just saying things for the sake of it. And there was a lot, and we talked about that. I know that, you know, Hannah and Christina dealt with that and things like that. So it was cool to be able to hear varying takes on what autism is. Like, there was even one, I remember there was a prompt about getting a job. You know, the idea of people with autism working and whether or not it's harder for them to find work because of autism. And that was a subject that didn't affect me, right? Because Lucas isn't trying to get a job. Lucas can't get a job. I totally get that. But hearing their stories about it, I was also able to give them a varying take on that as well. I don't know. I didn't see that one prompt. I know it was behind a paywall. So I didn't see that one. But I will tell you, I think I said it at that point. I didn't see it in the main video, but I did say it. I don't know if they kept it in over there. One of the things that a prompt like that or a question like that brings for me as a parent is that I've been lucky, right? I read all the time about these IEPs and these, you know, CSE meetings for these parents of children on the spectrum and how they have to fight with the district. You know, people have memes about like, threaten to sue them, threaten to kill them. You know, like, what the hell? And I remember always thinking, like, how bad are these meetings? Because my meetings are a joy to behold. Like, they are, it's not, people compliment him, they compliment me, I compliment them. We're like, you do this. I give them ideas. I notice this. And we all laugh and we do it. And they give me pretty much every single thing I want for him. And in many cases, I trust their judgment too. Like, I know that they're with him more than I am in a school environment. They know where his deficits are, and they know that I'm willing to work with them to fix those on my end as well. So they want to give me the, I've never had to fight about anything. But every once in a while, I kind of wish I had to, because sometimes not having to fight about it is their way of saying, like, yeah, your kid really needs all this stuff and more. And that could sting a little bit, or at least it used to sting. And I've told the story before. I'll tell it one more time. When Lucas was first entering school, he had this caseworker, this case manager, whatever the name was. I didn't like her. She had been a speech teacher. Now she was like handling him. And it was me, I guess the superintendent and her at this meeting to figure out how we were going to work his IEP going forward, starting school or whatever. And they talked about speech. They talked about giving him, you know, speech classes. At this point now, he's like 4, like 5, whatever. And the superintendent, who barely knew him, she was like, well, are they going to give him more than this many hours? And the caseworker goes, I think they're going to give it to him. I don't think it'll be a problem. And I was like, can you not do that? Like, seriously, can you not do that? I don't. And that used to really bug me. That's something that I went through. And what I tell you that story because I feel like that's something where I can't fathom the idea of having to work. I mean, I can fathom it now that I hear about it. I saw it in the play, How to Dance in Ohio. I went to go see it, the musical. The idea of having sensory issues, the idea of being overwhelmed in certain situations and then being expected to work, you know, at a job, retail or whatever. That's hard, or getting hired when you can't deal with certain things. And some of the people there had stories about how they were treated at work that made me feel like, ooh, that's awful. And I wouldn't even consider it. Like, granted, just like that other part, like I wish I would experience it, because that would mean that my son was at a point where he could work and he could do that. So there is that, but also, like, if I'm not going to deal with it, I'm glad I don't have to deal with that, you know? So they got to hear that from me. I got to hear that from them. And that is the idea of what we do this for. That is the idea of why it is so important, you know, for Lucas to be a part of that conversation. I think many parents have to realize that there are parents like me out there, and there's kids like Lucas out there, because it's kind of hard to find resources for that. You know, not a lot of things are written or handled about someone like my son. And the things that are handled, I always found, and again, man, maybe you got one that you love, and I'm not, I do not read every blog, to be honest with you. I barely read any blogs. I have a few that, you know, I'm close to, and I'm friends with over on Facebook, R Chaos. I love those guys, Nolan, they're fantastic. But what I'm saying is I feel like a lot of times they do veer towards negativity, and I didn't want to do that. You know, so the ones that I had read, especially, I think I had said that story about coming across a blog right when Lucas was getting diagnosed and finding a mother of a nonverbal child. And this blog ripped my heart out and then just left it there. Like, there was no uplifting end message like I try to give. Everything I try to write, I try to find some sort of positive to it, whether it's how to handle a meltdown. I'm starting to learn, I'm starting to notice that as time has gone on, I've had to do that less. I've had to find less ways to kind of give a happy ending, because most of the things are just happy stories. I found the positive in everything naturally without having to give you a positive spin. But every once in a while, I'll still write about something that could be a little heavy-handed and have to be like, now here's the silver lining, because it's important. Otherwise, what are you reading it for? Like, if you're, everybody can see the negatives. When something is terrible, you don't need to read something to tell you it's terrible. You know, you feel it. It hurts. If you're searching it out for a difficult subject that is traditionally seen as negative or hard, you're reading to find out how to either make it easier or find out, like, is it that bad? And that's my whole goal of doing this. So getting to go out there and getting to interact in a situation where people are tuning in to hear about autism, and they're expecting to hear some of those stories. They're expecting to hear about difficulties at work. They're expecting to hear about dating and things like that. And then to be able to present Lucas and remind people that he's here. And that he might not be writing blogs, he might not be creating, you know, YouTube videos or TikToks or Instagram reels or any of those things by himself. He's there through me, and that's why you see people who are affected by autism the way he is far less than maybe you should. I feel proud for being able to do that. I feel lucky to do that. If you guys go to my Instagram page, I'm at Hi James Gutman, H-I James Gutman, Hi James Gutman. Go over there, check it out, follow all that stuff. But if you go over there, I had posted a reel. It was a clip from the overall video from the Jubilee video. And what, I don't know if I told you guys this, but before it began, before we started filming, they didn't want us to talk to each other. I had gotten there like ridiculously early. I think I told the story. I flew into LA, recorded it, and then flew out of LA. So it was kind of whew, all over the place. I sat down, and one of the first things that happened was Aiden Boyer from American Idol, who I mentioned earlier, who was fantastic. He's a great guy. He asked me about whether or not I had spoken to Lucas about being on the video, being on the show, and whether he's, you know, ever, you know, expressed anything about advocacy with me. And it's a question, maybe not specifically that question, but it's a theme that I'm used to, of people asking me things about Lucas that I get why they ask that, because it's natural to ask that. And I think most people would ask that, but in my head, it's so far off from like where I know he is with me and I know how we communicate that it still throws me off a little bit, you know, but it also shines a light on some of the things that people need to hear about, because no, like I had said to Aiden in the video, no, he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand that I'm going there to do it. He doesn't understand really, I don't think, what autism is. All those things are abstract for him, you know? So I don't know. I don't think he gets it. He might. And if he does, it's great, because I did tell him. I tell him everything. I talk to him and I share things with him. And it was, I don't know, the reason why I used it, I mean, it's funny. So if you watch it, you'll think it's because when I said autism appreciation, Aiden was like, I want to read your blog. He's like, read James's blog. So I put it in there because of that, because I thought that was a great part. But I'm also really proud of this clip, because it was an opportunity to answer a question that I'm sure everybody wondered, that I myself would never address even in a podcast, because I don't think about it like that. You know, I don't think about being able to do that. And here's somebody who, you know, has autism. You know, Aiden has autism. He has it in his own way. But even somebody with autism still will have questions about somebody else with autism. So it's important for everybody to come together and discuss it, because there are challenges that he faces that we don't, the challenges that, you know, Lucas faces that somebody else doesn't. And it really just makes me feel supported, you know, within this community, that I really, you know, as somebody who I love someone with autism, you know, as one of the most important people in my life. So I want to do right by him. I want to represent his role within the community, and I want to be a part of that community. I want to be able to share what we have to say, and I want to ensure that when people, you know, try to seek out information about autism and about that community, they're aware of someone like Lucas, and they're aware of him not in a way where it's like, look how hard that dad has it. And I've talked about that. People, you know, see him, oh, that poor guy. Like, I don't want people to see us like that, because we are not like that. We are good. And maybe you haven't read enough about it. Maybe there hasn't been enough positive spins on it. Maybe you just don't know anything about what we deal with. But I want everybody to know. I want everyone to know about him. So Jubilee allowed me to do that. I hope you guys watched the video. I was so proud of it. I was so proud of the opportunity to do that. I was so proud of being able to really do my son proud, which has been my my biggest goal. So he might not know what I did. He might not understand autism, all those other things. But if he does, I want him to be proud. If one day he gets it, I want him to be like, oh, you did that. That's awesome. You know, I want that to just be. And even if he doesn't get it, he doesn't have to get it. I do it because I love him. And I want to share that with the world. It makes me happy to be able to do that because he deserves it. He's fantastic. So thank you. Thank you to Jubilee. Thank you to everybody that I met. Thank you for all of you who I've heard from and the response and the great things that have come about it. It means a lot to me. Thank you. Do me a favor. Monday, Wednesday, go to highblogondad.com. I'm there. I'm writing. I'm sharing my stories. On Fridays, come back here. Hi, Pod, I'm Dad. Join me. We'll talk. We'll do our thing. It means a lot. I'm going to be here for a while. I hope you guys are too. Thank you. Does it for me. Until next time, James Gutman saying, be well. Bye, Pod. I'm Dad.